listening to the Section 5 podcast.
Welcome to the Section 5 podcast, where the Celtics just dropped an extremely disappointing Game 4 matchup in the Eastern Conference Finals to the Miami Heat, 112-109. And I'm here, it's me, G, and I'm here with Adam, running the two-man game tonight. And Adam, there's so much to go through in this game, but it really came down to two things. It came down to 37 points from Tyler Hero. And two things I really want to say about Tyler Hero, the Tyler Hero situation, before we jump into this podcast. One is, last year, going into the draft, I remember reaching out to Trey and saying, hey, who's the best shooter in the draft? He said, oh, I think it's Tyler Hero. I'm like, well, that's the guy I want. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I watched a ton of Tyler Hero games, but a shot maker is what the Celtics were sorely lacking. Going into this series, when we did our preview, I noted sort of the Danny Ainge, Pat Riley dynamic to this series, where just the roster construction that took place. Well, we all noted this as we did our Eastern Conference Finals preview, but sort of the roster construction battle, the series of maneuvers that each of these GMs made that sort of led to this point. One of the major sticking points for me was how much the Celtics reportedly liked Tyler Hero going into the draft, and then the draft capital that they had to actually go out and get him that they didn't use, and they ended up with Romeo Langford. And clearly, that was the difference in not only this game, but largely in the series. Tim Legler mentioned this on SportsCenter after the game, but Tyler Hero is what you call unaccounted for offense, where you say, okay, this guy's going to give me this, this guy's going to give me that. And then all of a sudden he busts off a 20, 25, 30, 37 points. And the Celtics just didn't, I don't want to say couldn't, but didn't overcome that tonight. The second part, Adam, I'm sure, which we'll get into for the majority of the pod, was the turnovers. And this was the story in games one and game two, where I likened it to death by a thousand cuts. It just eats away at you and eats away at you and eats away at you and eats away at you. And for a team whose focus after the loss during the seeding round to the Miami Heat, for a team whose focus was moving on to the next play, not letting the refs or missed shots sort of affect their effort and their emotions in the game, turnovers are just really, really tough to come past when you have 19 of them. 19 turnovers for the Celtics tonight, 14 of those between Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Marcus Smart. Your primary ball handlers, Kemba Walker notwithstanding, but that's the story of the game. 19 turnovers, 37 points from Tyler Hero. And Adam, I'll let you run through the box score, because the Celtics seem to have the edge in the majority of the categories tonight. But at the end of the day, the sum was greater than its parts for the Miami Heat. And now the Celtics will go down 3-1.
Yeah, so this was a completely frustrating game to watch. Just the unforced turnovers are probably the most frustrating part about it. And is that, you know, Miami's playing, you know, mucking up the game, playing that zone against us. And it's just, we're dribbling into guys, we're throwing the ball to other guys. It's like these guys aren't manning us up and stopping us. We're just beating ourselves. And today was a prime example of that. Like you mentioned, like, we shot better than these guys. Celtics shot 48% from the field. Heat shot 43%. Heat 27% from three. We shot 35%. We won the rebounding battle. We got more offensive boards and defensive boards than them. More assists. Like I talked about earlier in this series, how the Miami Heat were, you know, an elite team in setting up baskets for their teammates. Well, you know, both teams made 39 baskets today. And Miami had 20 assists. We had 28. So every facet of the game, I think we were better than them, except for the turnover battle. And that's, you know, Mark hit the nail right on the head. I wish he was here today. Actually, I probably don't wish he was here today because I don't know if I want to hear all that negativity today. But, you know, the only team that could beat the Seas is the Seas. And tonight definitely proved that. One other thing I want to say that, you know, last episode or the episode before, I think I said I hated Tyler Hero. And, you know, he's arguably been the Heat MVP of this series. He's, you know, he's averaging 21, 7, 5, shooting 48 from the field, 32, 33 from three. I think he had one really bad game shooting the ball in the series. But for the most part, this, you know, we haven't had an answer for him. He could get his shot anytime he wants, it seems like. And, you know, he's helping out on the defensive boards for them. He's always crashing the boards. He's a playmaker for them. Just, you know, we need guys like Tyler Hero on the Seas, you know, but that's not going to happen right now. But even with all that, I still feel like that this is anyone's series, that, you know, we can still grab the momentum in this series. You know, it's not over, but the flat start, which a lot of guys mentioned after the game in the post-game comments, is just inexcusable. You know, Tatum going scoreless in the first half. He definitely made up for it in the second half, but, you know, he puts a few buckets up in the first half, and we seems like we win this game.
Yeah, the flat start is pretty baffling to me, given with how much intensity and urgency the Celtics came out and played with in game three. They had Gordon Hayward back. Throughout the last 4 days, there was a lot of talk coming from the team. I mean, even right after game three, with Jaylen Brown saying game four starts tonight, the time off that they had to make adjustments, to get healthy. I mean, still sort of running a bit on fumes after the 7-game Toronto series. For them to come out flat like that is it's indefensible and it's inexplicable. I mean, the only explanation that I have for this is that on the Celtics end of the court, you do have a ton of high lottery picks. Marcus Smart was selected with the 6th pick, I believe. Jason Tatum, number 3. Jaylen Brown, number 3. Kemba Walker was some time ago, but I think Kemba Walker was, you know, number 8 or number 9. I mean, this is a collection of players that's used to their talent overcoming or sort of being the deciding factor in the majority of their games, just talent. Whereas on the Miami end, I mean, Tyler Hero was the 13th pick in the draft. Bam was also the 13th pick in the draft. Jimmy, I believe, was somewhere at 30. Jay Crowder, second rounder. Duncan Robinson, undrafted. Goran Dragic, I don't know where he was drafted, but he came over from Europe. You know, this seems like a team that's had to work for whatever they've had individually and collectively. They've always had to scrap. And there's just a ton of fight in this Miami Heat team. The Celtics do have fight and do have resolve, but it's becoming like a broken record. It's just not there for 48 minutes. And I believe that this was – do you remember the score at the half?
It was – we were down by 6. I don't remember the score.
So it was a 6-point game at the half. And then the Celtics ended up falling down by as much as 12. The Celtics ended up falling down by as much as 12 in the third quarter. And they were down by 12. There was sloppy play. And the Heat were in the bonus. And I thought, whoa, you know, Miami may be getting ready to really just run away with this game. And the Celtics fought back and went into the fourth quarter, I believe, only down 1 point. So I'm like, okay, you know, we got a game here. Sort of just going back a few steps, Adam. Jason Tatum, you know, I tweeted about the echo chamber on Twitter because Jeff Van Gundy was very vocal about something's wrong with Jason Tatum. Something's wrong with Jason Tatum. And then I go on Twitter and everybody and their mother, what's wrong with Tatum? Is he hurt? Is he this? Is he that? And I didn't see Tatum sort of looking like he had anything physically wrong with him, but he went scoreless in the first half. He came back in the second half and dropped, what, 28 points in the second half? But like you mentioned, man, it's almost like a tennis game. These were unforced errors, and there were 19 of them. And that, combined with 37 points from Tyler Herro, was just too much to overcome. But the sluggish start, I wasn't in a good mood this game, man. I was in an angry fucking mood for most of this game because I'm watching this and I just did not see the Celtics playing at full speed.
Yeah.
And I, you know, usually when I'm preparing for the pod, you know, I try not to get too ahead of myself because I don't know the outcome of the game and that usually dictates what we're going to discuss. But the first thing I put in my notes, like midway through the second quarter, is not playing at full speed. And that was sort of like the aha thing for me. When we talk about all these buzzwords of urgency and effort and wanting it and all this stuff, it really came down to I didn't see the Celtics playing at full speed. And I think that's what led to the turnovers. I didn't see them, you know, making cuts at full speed, running and set the screen at full speed. They were just kind of like, you know, if this was a football game, they were just doing a walkthrough. They weren't playing like they practiced. And it's just really frustrating to see because when you look on paper, when you look at the talent that the Celtics have, when you look at the ability they have, when you look at the way that they've played the majority of the season, and then to just not come out and play full speed with maximum effort in this game, it's extremely disappointing. And Adam, there's just no more time for talking or saying the right things. The back's against the wall. It's win or go home. And that's what it is for game five.
Yeah, I hope. And, I, you know, they have to come out game five and play with a whole bunch of urgency. Like, they have to come out playing like they know that, all right, we don't want to go home yet. We're still trying to win a championship. This isn't how we're going to go out. If we're going to go out, it's going to be because Miami just plays better than the best we're playing. And, you know, it was very frustrating watching that first half. And I think even it extended into the third quarter, probably like the first 4 or 5 minutes of the third quarter, yeah, where they still didn't play with that. All right, like, this is a playoff game, guys. You're not playing the freaking Charlotte Hornets in January, right? You're playing Miami in the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, and I, you know, maybe it's hard for them to get amped with no crowd, but I don't, that's, to me, that's not even an excuse because, you know, you just had 4 days off. You're on a resort. Like, you know, what is causing you to come out playing like, you know, this is game 60 of 82. Like, I just don't get it. And I also want to point out that what was frustrating to me was seeing some of these rotations out there.
I was about to get into that.
It was like, you know, to me, the point of Gordon Hayward coming back was that we wouldn't have any lineups out there that don't have three of our top five guys out there. And there's no reason why I should see Semi, Bob Williams, and Wanamaker on the court at the same time. And, you know, credit to them, like, Wanamaker had some, you know, good buckets where he actually attacked the zone. I think at least one he had, and one he had a fast break layup, but he had a nice finish. And Bob was a plus 10 out there. So, you know, no offense to them, that, you know, they had capable minutes out there, but I want to see our guys out there, man. I don't want to, you know, if we're going to lose, I don't want to think about these 6-8 minutes or 4-6 minutes that those three are on the court at the same time while Miami has, you know, Harrell, Crowder, Butler, Dragic, and Bam out there while, you know, we have three guys that are, you know, replacement players out, replacement level players out there. So I hope come Friday night that we're seeing Tatum, Hayward, Brown, Smart, and they all should be in the low 40s for minutes. I don't want to see Hayward with 30 minutes. He just had 4 days off. You know, it seems like they waited until he was absolutely healthy for when he came back. And they need to ride their guys, man. They need to ride that talent that they have.
One guy that they did, I don't want to say they rode, but they did give him sort of consistent minutes. And I want to talk about him for a second. And I was extremely disappointed in his performance, not only tonight, but the entire series. And that's Daniel Theis. Daniel Theis tonight, 30 minutes, 8 points, did have 9 rebounds, minus 14. And Daniel Theis, on almost every single defensive possession that he was highlighted on, never made his presence felt throughout the entire game. Anytime that you saw Daniel Theis, there was a hesitant hand in somebody's face who just splashed a jumper in his face. And when he did get physical, there were always ticky-tack fouls. And we talked about this in the last pod. He's not getting his money worth on these fouls. He's barely touching somebody where he's not up in their shit. He's not up in their jersey. And I don't know if it's just that his psyche is all screwed up because of the amount of bad calls that go against him, or he perceives bad calls that go against him, but there were so many possessions when Daniel Theis was the primary defender and he was getting scored on. He was getting scored on between him and Kemba. Those are the guys that they were attacking. And Daniel Theis is 6'9", so he doesn't have the same excuse about being undersized. Bam Adebayo, you know, pretty much the entire Miami offense was Bam Adebayo, dribble handoffs and dribble handoff with the slight pick and roll, or just a straight up off the ball pick and roll the whole game. And the Celtics still have not adjusted to that, and they have not adjusted to the zone. And that's been frustrating to see. You know, it's been like watching Mariano Rivera, who you know only has 2 pitches. And no matter what, you just can't hit it. Like, we've been seeing the same thing from the Miami offense and the Miami defense for the whole series, and the Celtics haven't made the adjustments. And I think somebody who's going to take, you know, who's going to get some harsh criticism if and when the Celtics, you know, land back home in Boston, that's going to be Brad Stevens. Because I mentioned that this game was mostly going to be about discipline. We talked about two, you know, we didn't want to say evenly matched teams, but each team has some advantages, and the most disciplined team was going to win this series. And it's just very uncharacteristic to have so many careless turnovers, you know, so much lackadaisical play, the inability after 5 or 6 weeks to break the zone. Bad substitutions, bad rotations. You know, Brad Stevens is not a guy. We're begging for him to use the challenge. And when he uses the challenge tonight, I mean, it was a 4-point play, but he loses the challenge tonight. He doesn't have any left. It just really hasn't been a great series for Brad Stevens. And given the minutes that were played by some of these guys tonight and some of the lineups that we had in the game at different points in time, I mean, I know tomorrow is not going to be a good day. It's hardly ever a good day for anybody on Celtics radio. But tomorrow is not going to be a good day for Brad Stevens on Celtics radio. Trey, I just heard the buzzer. I think Trey is subbing into the game. Trey just pulled the Paul Pierce, ran out the back, out the locker room to jump into the game. What up, Trey? Me and Adam kind of aired out a lot of our grievances about Tyler Hero, the turnovers, the lackadaisical play, the rotations, you name it. You know, we've aired out our grievances on that as far as the Celtics go. So I just want to give you the opportunity to kind of give your reactions to the game, some raw emotion, and how you saw this whole thing unfolding.
Yeah, so the Celtics, They didn't seem to have the best the best effort tonight, man. They just didn't execute. They didn't take care of the ball. You guys talked about it. 19 turnovers is not going to cut it. I think last game we had over 50 points in the paint. And then tonight we matched Miami with points in the paint with 38. And then we just had way too many turnovers. We let the Heat get too many steals. It felt like we got out-rebounded. We did get out-rebounded by 6 rebounds, including offensive and defensive combined, which...
Well, C's out-rebounded Miami by 6.
Yeah, we won the rebounding battle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It felt like it, but...
Yeah, it felt like we got out-rebounded. Yeah. Still. Yeah, it was a shitty night. We need to turn things around for game 5. Simple as that. Jason Tatum has to get off to a better start. Guys have to be aggressive attacking downhill, kind of like Wanamaker did on one of his plays. You know, when he got the ball, he just attacked, went downhill, got the easy 2. I've seen Kemba do it a few times. Guys just need to be attacking angles and getting easy buckets. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to really say about it, to be honest.
Yeah, I think we all feel the same because we've been saying the same things over and over and over for this entire series. And just to kind of look at the other side of the coin on the Miami side, yet again, it seems like – now, the difference tonight was that the Celtics assist-to-field-goal ratio was higher. You know, we had a higher percentage of assisted field goals than Miami did tonight. But – and that largely was due to those, you know, Tyler Herro going nuts on a bunch of those buckets. But it just seemed like Miami limits the mistakes and just constantly and continuously – runs their offense and seeks the open shot. And the baskets that Tyler Herro did make, even though they were unassisted, they came off of screens. They came off of dribble handoffs. So you have to tip your hat to Miami tonight because both teams looked out of sorts in the first half.
So what kind of gets on my nerves is like the first few games, Goran Dragic was the guy who everybody was – you know, highlighting and saying you have to watch him coming off the screens and pick and roll and all that. And really, Tyler Herro has scored 10 points in all of his games in the playoffs, I believe.
Yep, 10 plus.
Right. So clearly he's comfortable within the offense to contribute to Miami every night, regardless of what Goran Dragic was doing. And it just felt like we should be more prepared for him coming into this game. He didn't have to have 31 or 30 something points, 37 last game in order for us to realize that he's a bucket coming into game 4. So there's no way he should have had the game that he had.
Do you guys think that Stevens moves Hayward back into the starting lineup for game 5?
I said that, you know, if they go down 3-1 or 3-0, that's when you move Hayward back into the starting lineup because you have to make an adjustment at that point. And if he's the guy that's the stabilizer, if they and I mean, I've never seen a team run zone as much as Miami did. But if Gordon Hayward's essentially your best decision maker on the team and your back's against the wall, I think you're at the point where you have to make a change. And it's funny because all season, the Celtics' issue was slow starts. Like we used to always be pissed about the slow starts. And then for this series, it was the fast starts and then blowing leads. And I remember on the group chat, I said, man, I'm a little more comfortable with them playing from behind than playing from ahead at this point. But they did get back to the sluggish start today, and I do expect Gordon Hayward to be back in the starting lineup for game five.
Yeah, I think so too, especially coming off of the shooting night that Smart had tonight. He did lead our team with 11 assists, so he was definitely a distributor in that zone. But you know, he did have a few killer unforced turnovers. He was 1 for 8 from 3 for 12 overall. Like, we need another guy that Miami needs to take account for on the outside as a consistent threat. You know, Smart did have his best year shooting in his career, but you know, Hayward is a much better shooter than Marcus Smart, and I would, you know, hopefully that will, you know, help stabilize our bench and give Gordon just more time with our starters, because Gordon played real well tonight, but he only played 30 minutes and he was a +8 in those 30 minutes. So unless they're still trying to manage his minutes or he isn't 100% healthy, I definitely want to see between 35 and 40 minutes at the minimum from Gordon on Friday night.
Trey, you think that – do you see Gordon Hayward starting the next game?
I mean, I don't see why not. The question would be, who is not going to start? Would that be Tyus? Are you going extra small, or is that going to be Marcus Smart? I don't think we can afford to give up the advantage rebound-wise, even though Tyus is only 6'9", Hayward is about 6'8". So, I mean, theoretically, if guys are just aggressive to get the rebound, we should be fine no matter who sits. But I do think Hayward should start game five. I think you should just maybe have Smart coming off the bench. I mean, it really wouldn't matter. You just stagger the minutes in a way where – you've got your best guys on the court at the same time, but Hayward starts.
Why do you think we didn't see much of Grant Williams tonight?
We saw more of Robert Williams, and it seems as though we get either or all series. The very first game, we got 11 minutes from Robert Williams, and then he didn't play until this game, till game four. And then Grant Williams had better games in between games one and game four.
Yeah, and we didn't see Cantor today, which we did see, you know, Cantor did have some minutes in those previous games. So it must be something that the coaches are seeing that, you know, they made a thought Williams, you know, Bob Williams was a better fit today. And Bob Williams was, you know, he was our – highest plus-minus guy tonight. He was a +10 in his 12 minutes. So he did good things on there, especially all four of his boards coming on the offensive end. And, you know, two of those were just putbacks for him. So I don't know. Stevens's rotations have been, you can't predict them every game. It seems like they've been different every game. And I don't know, that must be a little tough on the players to not know who's going to be going in. If they, you know, maybe they do know beforehand, but you know, guys only get that better with consistent minutes.
Yeah, I was going to say that has to be something that they're discussing, you know, before the game or through the walkthrough, that hey, you know, here's what we're going to do tonight. Because if this dude's just pulling shit out of his ass and saying, hey, I'm just going to throw Robbie Williams in today, you know, as a fan, it's frustrating to see the inconsistency. And for the first time, you actually saw a little bit of that with Eric Spoelstra today, because Solomon Hill looked like some dude that they just found in the Disney janitor's room.
He was in the bubble before the bubble started.
Yeah, like they found some dude, some 6'8 dude, you know, wandering the bubble and just put him in the game. That was pretty surprising. But as with this in every series, we're usually figuring that the other team's advantage is their depth. The Celtics is high in talent. Their advantage is their depth. But tonight, Miami only went 8 deep. And 4 of those minutes went to Solomon Hill. Andre Iguodala has been on the court, but he hasn't really given them anything. He was a minus four in 27 minutes, scoring 3 points with 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals. So decent defensive effort with the 3 steals. But it was the starting five and Tyler Harrell that did all the damage. And it's just, I don't know what this means for the series. I mean, conventional wisdom tells you that the Celtics won't come back from a 3-1 deficit. But as I watch these games, there's never been an instance where I felt like Caesar just getting waxed by the better team. It's always been self-inflicted wounds. But at the same time, when you look at tonight's game, when you look at the fact that Miami basically did it with 6 players, when you look at the fact that we led in all those statistical categories, it's like, I guess you're pretty much hanging your hat on the turnovers as far as if we clean that up. This is a sweep. I mean, I don't want to be that guy, but if you clean up those unforced errors, the Celtics could very well have swept this series. And it's just really frustrating to see that point. Trey, there's one interesting development, I guess, coming out of this game that could impact the series going forward, and that's Bam Adebayo. It looks like at the end of the game, at some point in the last few minutes of the game, it looks like he may have gotten a wrist injury. I don't know if he jammed his wrist on Jason Tatum or something of that nature, but sort of my 2020 vision from my couch, I want to say it looked a little bit like his left wrist was swollen. But he did stay in the game. That could be gigantic. And I'll tell you right now, if Bam Adebayo is not in the game, the Celtics can come back and win this series. He's been the engine for that entire team. We called Goran Dragic sort of the head of the snake. I guess Tyler Harrell's like the little cobra rattling tail, but Bam Adebayo's clearly been the engine behind this team, and he's been wreaking havoc throughout the game. So I don't know what that means for the rest of the series, but I don't know, Trey, how you're looking at this going forward. Are you taking positives that these have all been self-inflicted wounds and we easily could have won any of these games? Or are you looking at it like, okay, we've tried everything, they've thrown everything at us, and at the end of the day, we're still down 3-1.
So Bam Adebayo had 27 points last game. This game he had 20 points, 12 boards, 4 assists. He was 7-for-11 from the field. He actually shot a 3 this game. He missed it. So, like, the Celtics are not getting enough out of the big man rotation. And it just brings me back to the feeling that I had earlier in the year, and that's that I'm not that fond of the Celtics' big man rotation. I think we could do a lot better going forward, but the guys we have right now are the guys that we're going to have. So we just got to try to score elsewhere. I mean, Daniel Tice can't match those 20 points. He's got to bring effort, and we've got to get those points from other guys. But if he's to miss any time at a bio, then that would be crucial for the series. I mean, without him, they're pretty much forced to go small. And then it's advantage seized from there. I don't think he's going to miss time. So it's all going to be a matter of, can he play through it? Is it going to affect him in any way? Because I don't see Bam missing any time from this injury.
Yeah, it's his off-shooting hand. Miami may have like an eye peeking towards the NBA Finals. And speaking of which, Adam, the opportunity that the Celtics have in front of them, anything can happen in the Western Finals. Anything can still happen in this series. We've seen too much in the bubble to not recognize that fact. But the Celtics have an opportunity to face the Lakers in the finals against LeBron James to prevent the Lakers from tying the Celtics with 17 NBA titles. it's a once in a lifetime opportunity. We don't know how long LeBron can play at this level. We don't know what's going to happen in the East or the West next year with so many returning good players, you know, particularly in Brooklyn and in Golden State, that could shake up things and the moves and transactions to be made in this offseason. But the Celtics have a tremendous, tremendous opportunity still in front of them. And I'm wondering, if you're the Celtics, what's your mentality going into this next game on Friday night, which is going to be a huge one?
You know, I'm kind of looking at this in a positive way, and I hope the Celtics are as well, because, you know, so far in these playoffs, I think we've had two games where before the game we were like, okay, we're going to see exactly what this team is made of. And I think that was before Game 7 against Toronto, and that was before Game 3 against Miami, where we couldn't, you know, we couldn't afford to lose a Game 7, and we couldn't afford to lose Game 3 to go down 3-0. And both times the team stepped up and did what they needed to do to get victories. So I don't feel – they have to come out in the only mindset you can in these kind of situations, is that you just got to, you know, worry about Friday. You know, don't worry about Sunday and Tuesday. You got to just worry about Friday, take care of your business, and, you know, sleep till another game. Have a couple of free sleeps till the other game. And I feel good about it. I just, you know, I'm confident that we'll clean the turnovers up. I'm confident that we're going to come out Friday playing at a hungry, high-level playoff basketball. And, you know, we're going to see – this is the third game – that we're going to see what this team is made of. And we're going to have hopefully two more of those after that. So I'm looking forward to Friday. I'm as disappointed as I am in the performance tonight. We still only lost by 3. We turned over 19 times. Tyler Herro had damn near 40 points. And it still took every single one of those points and a scoreless first half from Jason Tatum for that to happen. So I'm ready for Friday.
Trey, is Adam being too optimistic, or do you see a path towards the Celtics getting back in this thing?
I do see a path. I mean, like you said, we've been right in it every game. And then again, he is being a little slightly optimistic. Too optimistic for me, but it is what it is. I don't know that any guy should be getting any sleep right now. After the game we just had, they should all be up, haunted by the fact that Tyler Herro scored 37 points tonight, and what they're going to do to stop it next game, and make sure that Dragic doesn't have a 29-point game like he did the first game. Those two guys cannot go off playing in the pick and roll. What are we going to do to stop it? And they need to stop it, and then they need to punch them in the mouth on offense. They've got to come out. I think Miami came out ready in the first quarter. They got off to a decent start. We just traded buckets, missing buckets, both teams. So we just got to get off to a better start like we did in the first couple games. But no lead is safe. We've seen it. It's got to limit the turnovers. But I do think there's a path for us to come back. Like Jason Tatum said, we got to take it game by game. Every game's a new game. So we've got game 5. You know, we win game 5, it's 3-2. And then we're talking about game 6. So let's just take it game by game.
Yeah, I absolutely believe that there's a path towards getting back in this thing, and it's the understatement of the century to say it starts with game 5. If you win game 5, you force a game 6. I'm discounting a game 7. You don't even think about a game 7, because if it gets to game 7, it's winner takes all. It's totally separate from a winning 3 in a row. You need to win one game in a row three times. And the frustrating part about all this, I think, for Celtics fans is that in Jaylen Brown's short time in the league, this is our third time getting to the Eastern Conference Finals. The first two you can somewhat discount because, you know, we were young. Both of those were against the Cavs, against a LeBron-led team, even though in 2018, the Celtics may have been a slight favorite in that series because that Cleveland team wasn't very good. But we didn't have Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving. Then we take a step back last year, and now we're back. We've been through the fire. We've been together for a couple years. Brad Stevens has been the coach for quite some time. And you think, you know, against a team that you're favored to beat, that you should be able to get over the hump and get back to the NBA Finals. And to be down 3-1 is not what anyone expected, and it's not acceptable by any means. But I do feel that the Celtics, if they can come out, I mean, and if is the key word in all this, you know, if pigs could fly, we'd be eating pork wings right now, right? But if the Celtics can come out, play 48 minutes at full speed, which is a tough task for anybody, but the majority of those possessions, you need to be playing at full speed, and they can force a game six, like, I'm going to like my chances, man. I'm telling you, if it's game six, I'm going to like my chances that we can win that game and force a game seven. And that just must be the fan in me or the optimist in me, but I'm not writing this team out quite yet, but I do think we'll have a pretty good sense of where this thing's going to head about 5 or 8 minutes into the game, into the first quarter of game five.
Tyler Hero had 37 points in 36 minutes. That's all I have to say. I'm disgusted.
Yeah, he went nuts. He went nuts. And my whole thing about Tyler Hero has always been not his ability, but his willingness. He doesn't play with any fear. It doesn't seem like anything that he's doing out there is just luck or happening by accident. He's willing these things to happen. And he's, you know, that energy that you're lacking in the bubble without fans or home court advantage or anything like that, it just seems like Tyler Hero provides that energy for the team. Jimmy Butler's very much the closer for them, and he's kind of been just sleepwalking through 3 out of 4 quarters in all these games.
I was a little encouraged when Marcus Smart was guarding him, but he had a play where Marcus was guarding him, and he did a little step back of sorts, and he just shot it, and it went in. But I did think that when Marcus was guarding him, he did a little bit less. It's just him coming off of screens and chasing him around. He seemed to get open shots, or he was taking what the defense was giving him. If you weren't going to be right on him, he was going to shoot coming off that screen.
I don't want to sound like a broken record, so there's not much more I have to say about this game or this series. If you guys have more things to add, maybe I just want to, if we can all say, okay, what's one thing that you would like to see happen besides a win in the next game? And for me, the one thing that I would like to see is I would like to see some emotion out of Jason Tatum. Separate from reacting to a call that he disagrees with. Like, I would like to see some intensity. I would like to see some fire. I would like to see some diving, some yelling, some screaming, you know, not like in the locker room and all that, but I believe that this team could use that because Jason Tatum, without question, is their best player, but he's not the spark plug. He's not the one that energizes or leads the team. Brad Stevens hasn't named the captain. He likes to say that there's a collection of leaders on this team, but Jason Tatum needs to step up and fill quite a few voids going into this next game five. And hopefully that starts tonight and tomorrow during practice or whatever the case may be. So that's what I like to see. Just more intensity, more fight, more emotion from Jason Tatum. Adam?
Yeah, we need our best players to play like them, to play like they are our best players. And I'm just confident that that's going to happen. With Tatum, yeah, I agree. He sometimes seems like he's a little too cool to be playing basketball, in that you don't see that fire from him. You know, he had a little bit of it when he dunked on Crowder the other night, but that was probably the most we've seen Tatum show us this whole playoffs. So that would be nice. I'd also like to see just, you know, when one of Miami's guys is going to the hoop, like, can we, like, commit a hard foul without getting kicked out the game? Like, just send some sort of, you know, message that physically we're going to meet them. And preferably it should come from a guy like Tice, who, you know, you did mention his, you know, his ticky-tack fouls where he barely touches a guy, but to the fault of him, he's putting himself in those positions for the ref to make that call. So if you're going to be there, if you're going to commit, you know, four fouls in a game, I want to remember one or two, and hopefully you want Miami to remember a couple of those as well, because with the flat start we came out with today, if Miami wasn't shooting the ball as poorly as they were, this game could have been, you know, over with a lot earlier than, you know, being a close game throughout.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to see a little more trash talk, a little more emotion, and not just from Tice, from all the guys. Just go after it. That's all I can say. I mean,
it's win or go home.
Right.
It's win or go home for the Celtics, and for better or for worse, we will be back here after game five to break it all down. So it's gut check time. It's gut check time for the Celtics. It's gut check time for Brad Stevens. And I would love to be a fly on the wall at Danny Ainge's house as he watched this game tonight. Because this team has had quite a few years to gel, to come together. They're still young. They're still young. You have to go through these things in the NBA in order to become a championship team. You know, unless you're like the 08 Celtics, but it'll be disappointing for them to go out like that. And like Adam said, you know, they've had two games now where it was a show and prove game to show what they're about. And the biggest one of them all will be Friday night for game five.
You could see the smirk under Pat Riley's mask.
Yeah. And deservedly so. I'd be smirking if we were up 3-1 as well. So you gotta embrace that. You know, you can't shy away from the negativity that you're gonna hear tomorrow. You can't shy away from, you know, seeing Tyler Herro and Goran Dragic getting those post-game interviews. You can't shy away from Pat Riley's greasy head and his smirking under his mask. You got to confront it. You got to embrace it. You got to eat that shit and use it as fuel in the next game. And as pros, the dogs that they have in this locker room, I'm expecting them to do that. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But that wraps it up for us on a disappointing Wednesday night. Celtics down 3-1. Their backs are against the wall, and we're all waiting to see how they respond.
Let's go, C's.
I'll give that a 6 out of 10 on the positivity meter.
Better than what I was going to say.
Go C's or go home.